وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم وأبارك على سيدي وحبيبي وقائدي محمد ابن عبد الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. من اهتدى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A man came wearing exceedingly white clothes and having exceedingly black hair to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sat by him and he placed his hands on his thighs and he said, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni an al-Islam. Tell me about Islam. What is that? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the five pillars of Islam. And the man said, Sadaqt, you have spoken the truth. And it amazed the companions, how would this man know on earth that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has spoken the truth? It seems as if this one who has arrived already knows the answers to his questions. Then he says, Akhbirni anil iman, tell me what is iman? And he went through the six pillars of iman. And again, he said, Sadaqt. Then he says, tell me about ihsan. And he says, An ta'budullah ka'annaka tarahu. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Then worship Allah as though you're seeing Allah. But if you're unable to be in that spiritually profound state, know at least that Allah is seeing and observing you. Then he says, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Tell me about the hour. Like, when will it be? He says, مَا الْمَسْؤُولَ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمْ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is asked the question knows no more than the one who is asking the question. Then he says, tell me about ashratiha, its signs. He says, إِذَا وَلَدَتِ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّهَا فَذَاكَ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ. When you see the slave girl giving birth to her mistress, then know that that is a sign of the end of time. He says, إِذَا تَطَاوَلَ رِعَعُ الْبَهْمِ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ فَذَاكَ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ. If you see the shepherd engaged and busy in constructing tall and lofty towers and buildings, and that is a sign of the end of time. He says, إِذَا رَأَيْتْ, if you see حُفَاتٌ, the naked, barefooted people, becoming the رَؤُوسَ النَّاسِ, the leaders of people, then that is a sign before the end of time. And the man left. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Sayyidina Umar, do you know who that was? And he said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And he says, that was Jibreel alayhi salam who came to teach you your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. The people, they ask you about the hour. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say that indeed the knowledge of that belongs only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. But what do you think? What do you think, perhaps indeed, that the hour is very close to you, very close, very at hand, the end of time, the last day. وَمَا أَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرَ أَوْ هُوَ أَقْرَبْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And know that the command of the hour is like the blink of an eye, or أَوْ هُوَ أَقْرَبْ, or it's closer than that. And indeed Allah has power over all things. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bu'ithtu ana wa sa'ataka hatain. He brought his two fingers together and he says, my coming at the last hour are like these two fingers. The distance between these two fingers, my coming and the end of time. Al-ayatu kharazatun manzumatun fi silk, fa'in yaqta'u silk yatba' ba'duha ba'dan. He says, the signs before the end of time are like pearls on a string. But when the string is cut, then the pearls, they come out one after the other, following one after the other. That is like what will happen before the end of time. We are living, brothers and sisters in Islam, towards the end of time. We are the last part of the last ummah. the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are those people described in the hadith collected by Musnad Imam Ahmad, when he said, "Antum tuwaffuna sab'ina umma, antum khayruha wa antum akramu ala Allahi azza wa jal." You are the final of 70 umam, the 70 nations, and you are the best of them and the most honored of them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Ahlul Jannah, 20 wa 100 saffin wa hadhihi al-umma min dhalik 80 saffan." The people of Jannah are 120 rows, and this ummah takes up 80 of those rows. We are the last part of the last ummah, but the first to enter Jannah. But there is a price to pay, living in this time, living in the end of time. For he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Inna ummatukum hadhihi ju'ila 'afiyatuha fi awwaliha wa sayusibu akhiraha bala'un wa umurun tunkirunaha." He says, the first of this ummah, the first part of this ummah, were given their afiyah, were given their preservation. Allah preserves them. But the last part of this ummah will have tests, will have trials, will have difficulties that they have to undergo. وَتَجِئُ الْفِتْنَةِ فَيُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا وَتَجِئُ الْفِتْنَةِ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنْ هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي. A fitna will come, one that will seem light compared to others, one that will seem hard compared to others, one that will come and the believer will say, "In this fitna, in this trial, in this temptation, in this deception is my destruction. Like, I can't defeat this one, I can't overcome, surpass, I can't deal with this one." ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ. And then it will pass. وَتَجِئُ الْفِتْنَةِ. And another one will come. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْتَأْتِي مَنِيَّتُهُ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So whoever wants to succeed, brothers and sisters, whoever wants to pass in this difficult time, whoever wants to pass in this time, then let his moment of death come to him whilst he believes in Allah and the last day. Let his end come to him firm upon La ilaha illallah, uncompromising in his belief in Allah, not wavering in those core elementary beliefs and principles of Islam. Because we will live in a time, brothers and sisters, in which the Prophet of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Badiru bil a'mal." All of you, run and race and be quick towards good actions. Why? Because the fitna will cover you like the darkness of the night covers you. It will cover you like the darkness of the night envelops and covers you. يُصْبِحَ الرَّجَلْ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A man will wake up as a believer, he will go to sleep in the evening, not as just as a munafiq, not as a fasiq, not just as a fajr, but as a kafir, as a disbeliever. He wasn't just a Muslim, he was a mu'min. He had risen to the level of iman. But the evening will come upon him, and he will be in a state of disbelief, in a state of kufr. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And in the evening he will be a believer, a mu'min. But by the morning he will be a kafir. Why? Why will someone change his religion, leave Islam, renounce Islam in a matter of a day, in a matter of a night? The hadith says, يَبِيعَ دِينَهُ بِأَرْضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ قَلِيلٍ. Because he will sell his religion, literally, sell his religion for a small price from this dunya. He will sell his religion. He will renounce Islam for the sake of name, for the sake of fame, for the sake of some kind of position, for the sake of a government post, right? That he will renounce Islam. He will renounce his deen. You see, brothers, when Sayyidina Umar conquered Jerusalem, radiallahu anhu, and Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah went with him, radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Umar came across a creek, and he was the Khalifa of the Muslimin. And he took off his sandals, and he placed them on his side, and he took the reins of his camel or of his riding beast, and he began to plow in the water. And he became immersed with water and mud, and his clothes became ruined. And Abu Ubaidah saw this and he said, Ya Umar, laqad sana'ta al-yawm sana'an azeeman inda ahli al-ard. Umar, the leader, the king of the Muslimin, you have done something that is bad in the eyes of the people, great and wrong in the eyes of the people. Like, we need to be the objects of some kind of respect in this place. People should see us and honor us as Muslims, but you have dishonored us. You're the leader of the Muslimin, but you're coming to this new place with this sense of, people will see us and see the clothes that we're wearing, and now you're all dirty and you're messed. And Sayyidina Umar looked at his fellow companion and said, Oh, لو يقول ذا خيرك أبا عبيدة, if only someone other than you had said that to me. Oh, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Meaning, I didn't expect you to say that to me. إِنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ أَذَلُّ وَأَحْقَرَ النَّاسِ. You people, including himself of course, we collectively were the most humiliated and disgraced of people. فَعَزَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. But Allah gave us izzah. Allah gave us honor. Not because of the fanciful clothes that we wear. Not because of the fluency of our speech. Not because of the color of our skin. But because of Islam. فَمَهْمَا تَطْلِبُ الْعِزَّةِ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. And now when we seek honor in anything other than that which Allah had honored us with, Allah will once again disgrace us. Brothers, if we are seeking the way of life of the disbelievers of the kuffar, Allah will bring humiliation upon us. If we are seeking this name and fame, and to be pranced around the world as some kind of government spokesman and representative speaking about this reformed and redefined and repackaged Islam, Allah will bring humiliation upon people like that. And be careful, because people will be in that condition, that they will wake up as mu'mineen, as believers, but they will sleep as kuffar. And they will go to sleep as mu'mineen, as believers, and they will wake up as kuffar. Because we will live in a time of deception, in a time of difficulty. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمِ وَتَظْهَرُ الْفِتَنِ وَيُلْقِ الشُّحِ وَيَكْثَرُ الْحَرَجِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we will live in a time where blessing will be taken out of time itself. قِلَّةُ الْبَرَكَ فِي الزَّمَانِ. The meaning it means there will be no blessing in time. وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمِ. And knowledge will go. You know, Ziyad ibn Labid radiallahu anhu was in the company of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he heard something like this, that knowledge will be lifted from this ummah. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, كيف يذهب العلم? And how will knowledge go when we recite the book of Allah? And we teach that book to our children, and they recite the book of Allah, and they teach that to their children. And that goes on until the end of time, then how will knowledge go? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثَكُلَتْكَ أُمُّكِ يَا زِيَاد, may your mother weep tears over you. I didn't expect you to say that. He said, I thought you were the most intelligent men of the most intelligent men of Medina. أَوَلَيْسَ هَذِهِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. Don't you see the Jews and the Christians? يَقْرَؤُونَ التَّوْرَاةُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ, reciting the Torah and the Injil. وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا هُمَا, but not acting anything according to those two books. وَيَقْبَضُ الْعِلْمِ. Imam al-Zahabi says, رَحِمُ اللَّهُ, وَمَا أُوتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ فَأَمَّا الْيَوْمِ فَمَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الْعُلُومَ الْقَلِيلَ إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ فِي أُنَاسِ قَلِيلٌ مَا أَقَلْ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنْهُمْ بِذَلِكَ الْقَلِيلِ فَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That Allah gave us a little knowledge in the first place. But as for today, it hasn't remained of that little knowledge except less than that. And there are a few people in this time, those who are carrying the knowledge. And even fewer are people who are acting by the little knowledge that they know. So حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. وَيَكْثَرُ الْحَرَجِ. And he said that haraj would increase. And they said, what is that, Ya Rasulullah? And he said, الْقَتْلُ الْقَتْلُ, killing and killing. He said, the world will not go, the last hour will not come, حتى لا يدري القاتل فيما قتل ولا المقتول فيما قتل. Until the one who kills will not know why on earth he has killed. And the one who is killed will not know why on earth he has killed. And the one who was killed will not know why on earth he was killed. Aren't we seeing that today? Aren't we seeing that people are sending their armies across the land and across the sea to drop bombs on innocent, defenseless people for wars that are illegal based upon their own standards? Based upon their own standards. Wars that are illegal. Killing an innocent, defenseless people. And then those soldiers in those countries are struck with some mental illnesses. Because they're seeing the horrors of their own works. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Corruption is on land and it's on the sea. Because of what you have done with your own two hands. And they see the horrors of the crimes that they inflict upon other people. And they come back with some kind of mental illness. And then they campaign. And they say that these wars are illegal because they don't know why on earth we're killing these people. They don't know what on earth are we killing these people for. And those defenseless and innocent people don't know that the bombs are dropping upon them from the sky. For what crime are they being killed? And then on a national level, in a city like this, you read the papers this morning and you will see that there have been countless, I'm estimating, because it was New Year's yesterday, and the amount of stabbings that there would have been. And stabbings and shootings and everything else. There's an epidemic even on around us, on a national level. People are killing other people and they don't know why on earth they're doing that. And those who were killed don't know why on earth they've been killed. We will live in a time of deception. We will live in a time where he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people will believe the liar. And people will disbelieve the one who speaks the truth. You see, in Sahih Bukhari, there is a hadith about a man. It says that the people will say about him, مَا أَعْقَلَ وَمَا أَظْرَفَ وَمَا أَجْلَدَ. What a noble person this is. What an intelligent person this is. What a pious person, sharif, like he's noble. Right? He has some sense of good qualities about him. وَمَا فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ خَرْضًا مِنْ إِيمَانٍ. But he doesn't even have an atom's weight of iman in his heart. How the scale will be upside down. How people will trust people, you know, they will come, they wear their suit and their tie and they're clean shaven and they will come and they will present something. But in their hearts, they don't even have an atom's weight of iman in their hearts. What an upside down scale. That people will marry their daughters off to men who seem to be so respectable and so good looking. But that person doesn't bow his head on the floor and say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to Allah, the Most High. He doesn't even pray. We will live in a time in which the Prophet of Allah said, Inna dajjaluna kadhabun ya'tunakum min al-ahadith bima lam tasma'u antum wa la aba'ukum. You will live in a time there will be liars, there will be imposters, right? And they will come to you with a new talk. Write something new that you've never heard before, neither your father's forefathers ever heard before. A new kind of Islam people present in this day and age. Right? They tell you about a secular Islam. Right? Islamic secularism. New Islam. They will sell you a democratic Islam, a socialist Islam. A social democratic Islam, every Islam except the Islam of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A new talk. Beware of the new things. Right? The redefined, repackaged Islam. The so-called Islam that speaks of the abolition of Sharia. Like we don't need Sharia anymore. The so-called Islam that speaks about the fact that sovereignty does not belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa na'udhu billah min thalik. The so-called Islam that speaks about the fact that, you know, we don't need the laws of Islam anymore. There is no politics in Islam. We've got to separate these two things. فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. So beware of them And your fathers should beware of them. لَيُضِلُّونَكُمْ وَلَيُفْتِنُونَكُمْ. Don't let these people be a cause of dalala for you, a cause of misguidance for you. Don't let these people be a cause of fitna for you. Deception. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَكُمُ السَّاعَةَ حَتَّى يُبْعَثَ دَجَّالُونَ كَذَّابُونَ قَرِيبًا مِنْ ثَلَاثِينَ كُلُّهُمْ يَزِعَمُ أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That the last hour will not come until there will be liars and imposters, around 30 of them, each one claiming to be the messenger of Allah. And we saw that, did we not? We see that till today. We saw that with Mirza Ghulam of Qadian of India, a man who stood up and he claimed initially to be the Mahdi, then he claimed to be Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and he claimed to be the reincarnation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and people took him, take him as a messenger of Allah. Liar. We saw that in America, did we not, with the Nation of Islam. Elijah Poole became Elijah Muhammad, who believed that Allah came down in the form of a man, Master Farad Muhammad, and he taught him that he is the messenger of Allah and that Allah is a black man. This is not just a misguided fellow. This is an enemy of Allah, a shaitan, a false prophet, who made a claim that was a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand wala and bara. You know, in one hadith he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَحْقِرُ أَحَدَكُمْ نَفْسَهُ. Let none of you belittle himself. None of you should belittle himself. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, كَيْفَ يَحْقِرُ أَحَدُنَا نَفْسَهُ. How can one of us belittle himself, Ya Rasulullah? He said, يَرَى أَمْرَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِيهِ مَقَالٍ. He sees a time, he knows he needs to speak the truth. He needs to say about something about Allah at that time, at that moment, at that place. ثُمَّ لَا يَقُولُ فِي. But he does not say it. He doesn't say what he needs to say. He just says what people would like to hear. And so Allah asks him on the Day of Judgment, مَا مَنَكَ أَن تَقُولَ فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا. What prevented you from saying this and that about me? And the man will say, خَشْيَةُ النَّاسِ. I feared the people. I feared the people. And Allah will say, I was more deserving of your fear. I was more deserving of your fear. In the midst of this difficulty, and these trials, and these hardships, right? When the year will become like a month, and the month will become like a week, and the week will become like a day, and the day will become like the spark of fire, like he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When knowledge will be taken, when there will be deception and trial and difficulty, in that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give preservation to a portion of this ummah. لَا تَزَالُوا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يُقَاتِلُونَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That there will always remain a party from my ummah, a group from my ummah, who will fight for the truth, who are always engaging, struggling, fighting for the truth. And they are manifest upon that, clear upon that, evident upon that, until the end of time. And in several hadith, he was asked, and where are those people? He said, in and around Jerusalem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give aid and nusra and support to those who are struggling in Palestine at this moment in time. May Allah azza wa jal give them victory like Allah gave victory at Badr for them and for the Muslimin in other places. In one hadith, you see, he spoke about sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will see people emerging with black flags from the east, and a man leading those people. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَبَايِعُوهُ وَلَوْ حَبًّا عَلَى الثَّلْجِ فَإِنَّهُ خَلِيفَةُ اللَّهِ الْمَهْدِي. This hadith Imam Zahabi graded as sahih. He says, and when you see him, then go to him and fulfill your pledge of allegiance to him. Even if you have to crawl on ice to that, because he is the Khalifa of Allah, the Mahdi. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَغْزُونَ جَزِيرَةَ الْعَرَبِ فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. You will make ghazwa. You will make a raid. You will conquer the Arabian Peninsula and Allah will grant that to you. ثُمَّ تَغْزُونَ الرُّومِ فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Then you will conquer Rome and Allah will grant that to you. ثُمَّ فَرِسَ فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Then you will conquer Persia and Allah will grant that to you. ثُمَّ تَغْزُونَ الدَّجَّالَ فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And you will conquer and raid against the Dajjal and Allah will grant him to you. There will be times, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى زَوَالِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِكَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيُبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِمِنْهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالِ. He says, I was shown the east and the west of this earth. And I saw the dominion of my ummah. I saw the kingdom of my ummah. I saw the kingdom of my ummah where the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are implemented on this earth. On both the east and the west, covering everything I saw. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will have a period of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen. And they will rule with adl and they will rule with haqq. And they were the Sahaba. And then Allah will grant you that as long as Allah decrees for you. And then Allah will remove it from you. And Allah will give you in replace of that, like a monarchy, where it will be about lineage and hereditary rule. And that will remain with you as long as Allah decrees for you. And then Allah will remove that from you. And then you will have a period of jababira, of tyrants, of tyrannical oppressive rulers, people who will rule, right, with tyranny, with oppression. And that's what we're seeing today. In all the lands where Muslims are, people don't rule with the book and the sunnah. When Sayyidina Umar became Khalifa, and he was in a gathering like this, and he addressed the people, like, what would you do if this servant, if this slave of Allah, Sayyidina Umar, if I turn away from the book and the sunnah, just like this, and he moved his head, then what would you do? And a man stood up with the sword and said, and we would straighten you with this, O Umar. We would straighten you with the sword. And he said, Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless you in that. Because it was about accountability, it was about justice. And that time of oppression will remain with us as long as Allah decrees for us. And then you will return on khilafah ala minhaj an-nubuwwah. You will return on the khilafah, on the method of the prophets. Meaning, we as an ummah will once again rule by the book and the sunnah. In the lands, with justice, with the adl. كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ فِيكُمْ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. And how will you be, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the son of Mary descends upon you, and your imam is from you. And your imam is from you. And many of the ulama, they say this is a clear indication of the Mahdi. You see, brothers, a wind was blowing in Kufa once upon a time. A red wind was blowing in Kufa. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu was there sitting down on the floor. And a man came and he said, O Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the hour is come. The hour is near, the hour has come. O Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the hour has come, the hour has come. And he kept repeating. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, stop saying what you're saying and sit down with me and be silent. And he said, listen, the hour will not come until the inheritance is not distributed until people don't rejoice in the ghanima, in the spoils of war anymore. And then he pointed his finger towards Sham, towards Syria. And he said, an army preparing against the Muslims, and the Muslims preparing against the army. And the man said, you mean Rome? Rome. And he said, yes. And he said, the Muslims will take from their army a people. Not the Joe Blogs of humanity. A people who will have a resolve and they will fight for death. They will fight to die for shahada in Allah's cause or for victory, but not to come back as losers. And they will fight their enemy, but the night will separate them. The night will overtake them. The night will prevent them from continuing the fighting, and many will die. And on the second day, the Muslims will send the second part of their army. And they will fight with the same resolve, and many will die, but the night will prevent them from continuing. And on the third day, they will do the same. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الرَّابِعِ نَهَدَ إِلَيْهِمْ بَقِيَّةُ أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. But on the fourth day, they will send what remains of the people of Islam to that enemy. فَيَقْتُلُونَ مَقْتَلَةً لَمْ يُرَى مِثْلُهَا. And they will fight a war so ferocious that you've never seen fighting like that before. So many people will die. You have never seen a killing like that before. حَتَّى إِنَّ الطَّائِرَ لَيَمُرُّ بِجَنَبَاتِهِمْ فَمَن يُخَلِّفُهُمْ حَتَّى يَخِرَّ مَيْتًا. Until even a bird will fly past their ranks and will not survive. Even the bird will not survive. The fighting will be so ferocious. And the Muslims will be holding the spoils of war in their hands. وَبَيْنَمَا هُمْ كَذَٰلِكَ إِذْ سَمِعُوا بِبَأْسٍ هُوَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ. And when they're in that condition, they will hear of a news that is greater than that, that is more severe than that. Like they will think that they fought the Armageddon. The greatest war in human history has involved the greatest bloodshed in human history. Even the birds haven't survived, they will look and see. But then they will hear of something that is even greater than that. فَجَاءَهُمُ الصَّرِيخُ. And so a caller will come, like a man will ride on the horse. And he will come with the news. And he will say, إِنَّ الدَّجَّالَ قَدْ خَلَفَهُمْ فِي ذَرَارِيِّهِمْ. That the Dajjal has come to their families. فَيَرْفُضُونَ مَا فِي أَيْدِهِمْ. And so they will drop the things in their hands. Right? They will drop the things in their hands. They will drop these treasures that they've gained from their enemy. وَيُقْبِلُونَ وَيَبْعَثُونَ عَشْرَةَ فَوَارِسَ طَلِيعًا. And they will gather 10 knights. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I know the names of these people, of these 10 people. I know their father's names. And I know the names of their horses. هُمْ خَيْرُ الْفَوَارِسَ عَلَى ظَهْرَ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَئِذٍ. They are the best of the knights on earth at that time. Like the 10 untouchables. Like the 10 who have been selected. That the Prophet of Allah even knows their names and their father's names and even the names of their horses. And they're selected to go and check on the Dajjal, investigate, and they're the best of the knights in that time. May Allah make us of them. And if we are not of them, may Allah make our children of them, or our grandchildren of them. When I heard this hadith, I've just come back from Hajj and I was saying this so much during my tawaf because I just read the hadith. But what a blessing for these 10 noble people in that time. The hadith, it says, يخرج الدجال من يهودية إصبهان معه 70,000 من اليهود. The Dajjal will come from the Jews of Isbahan And he will have with him 70,000 Jews. You see, in the famous hadith of Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet of Allah amassed his companions, and then he asked them, "Do you know why I've called you?" And they said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." And he said, "It's because of a man called Tamim ad-Dari, who has just become Muslim, who was a Christian. And what he tells me about the Dajjal agrees with what why I have told you about the Dajjal." And he was riding with his group on the sea, right? And the waves were tossing them here and there until they ended up on an island. And on the island they see a being that it was so hairy they couldn't tell its front from its back, and they became scared. They thought this is some female devil, some shaitan. And they asked this thing, "What are you?" And it replied and it says, "I am Al-Jassas, I am the spy." And then they said, and that thing said to them, "Go to the cave because a man is waiting for you. He wants to ask you some questions." And they became scared and they went. And Tamim ad-Dari said that, "I saw a being that is larger than anything I've ever seen before. And he was in shackles and he was chained on the wall. And he asked them, 'Who are you?' And they said, 'We are Arabs. And we were traveling and the waves tossed and turned us and we ended up on this island. We saw this hairy being and that thing directed us towards you.' And he asked them some questions. 'Tell me about this, tell me about that. Tell me about the Tiberias Lake. Does it have water?' They said, 'Yes.' They said, 'There will come a time that it won't have water anymore.' And he asked them about some trees. 'Do they bear fruits?' And they said, 'Yes.' And he said, 'There will come a time that those trees won't bear fruits anymore.' And then he says, 'Tell me about the one who has come out in Arabia, who claims to be a prophet. What's his condition?' And he says, 'The Arabs, they follow him, and their religion is one, and their book is one, and their prophet is one, and they're united under this new religion. And he says, it will do them well if they believe in him. And I will tell you about myself, that I am the Masih ad-Dajjal. I am the false Messiah. I am the deceiver. I am the one who will come with deception. And I will roam on this earth for 40 days. And the first day will be like a year. And the second day will be like a month. And the third day will be like a week. And the rest of the days will be like normal days. And I will travel in every place and every town, except Makkah and Tiba, Medina. Because at the entrances, at the gates of Medina, there will be two angels at each entrance. And they will have their swords unsheathed. And I will be met by those swords." And this story was told to the Prophet of Allah, and he smiled. And he says that the report of Tamim ad-Dari agrees with my report. "Ad-Dajjalu a'waru al-'ayn al-yusra." Dajjal is blind in his left eye. Dajjal is a'war, he's one-eyed. And your Lord is not one-eyed. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no fitna, there is no trial, no temptation that is greater upon the people than the trial of the Dajjal. And every prophet since Adam alayhi salam and to Muhammad salam has warned his people about the Dajjal. But he says, "I am telling you something new about him, that he's a'war, he's one-eyed, and your Lord is not one-eyed. Jufalu shar, he has curly hair. Ma'ahu jannatu wa nar, he has a fire and he has a paradise. In one narration, he has a river of water and he has a fire. وَنَارُهُ جَنَّةُ وَجَنَّتُهُ نَارُ, but his fire is paradise and his paradise is the fire." And he said, "If you ever saw that, then close your eyes and kneel down and drink from what appears to be the fire. Or immerse yourselves in what appears to be the fire, because the fire will be the paradise, will be the water, and the water will be the fire." And this is about basira, brothers. قُوَّةُ الْقَلْبَ الْمُنَوَّرَ بِنُورِ الْقُدُسِ يَرَى بِهَا حَقَائِكَ الْأَشْيَاءُ وَبَوَاطِنُهَا. having an illuminated heart, an illuminated sight, seeing the apparent of things, seeing the hidden of things. Will be written on his head. يَكْتُبُ بَيْنِ عَيْنَيْهِ كَافَرٌ يَقْرَأُهُ مَنْ كَرِهَ عَمَلُهُ وَيَقْرَأُ كُلُّ مُؤْمِنٍ. Between his eyes will be written kafir, kafara. Everyone, believer, everyone who hates his action will be able to read it. Or every believer will be able to read it. But Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimullah, the fitna of the Dajjal is not limited to his time and his place and his situation and his circumstance. But everyone, anyone who moves away from Islam because of something extraordinary has been touched and inflicted by a fitna of the Dajjal. Everyone who is so impressed by the way of life of the disbelievers, the fact that these people prance around the earth with ease and their opulence and their wealth and their extravagance in their denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he uses that as a cause for him to turn away and move away from Islam as being touched by a fitna of the Dajjal. Because he will come upon a people, right, claiming to be Lord, claiming to be Allah. And he will say to the people, do you not believe I'm your Lord? And they will believe in him. They will say, yes, you're our Lord. And so he will point to the sky and the rain will come. And their beasts will become big. And the grass will grow. The crops will grow. And they will eat and they will be healthy and prosperous and have fruitful profit in their trade. And then he will go to a people and said, do you not believe in me? And they will refuse belief in him. And their beasts of prey will die. And the crops will not grow. And they will die in that state. Because of the test. Because of the difficulty of remaining upon Islam. Even though things become hard. A man will go to him. A Bedouin. And the Dajjal will say to him, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ بَعَثْتُ لَكَ أَبَاكَ وَأُمِّكَ أَتَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَبُّكَ. Do you see if I brought your parents back to life again, your father and your mother, would you believe that I'm your Lord? فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ. And he will say, yes, I would believe that you're my Lord. فَتَمَثَّلَهُ شَيْطَانًا فِي صُرَةِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ. And so two shaitans will take the appearance of his parents. فَيَقُولَانَ. And his parents will say, يَا بُنَيَّ اِتْبَعُوا فَإِنَّهُ رَبُّكَ. Our son, follow him because he's your Lord. But another man will come and he'll be met by the arms and the guards of the Dajjal. And he will say, I want to see the one who claims to be Lord. And they will say, you have no permission to do that. But then after a while they will give him permission. And he will go to the Dajjal. And he will say, I testify that you are أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ الدَّجَّالِ أَلَّذِي حَدَّثَنَا فِيهِ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَدِيثًا. I testify that you are the one that our Prophet ﷺ spoke of, the false Messiah. And the man will say, the Dajjal will say to his army, أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن قَتَلْتُ هَذَا ثُمَّ أَحْيَيْتُهُ. If I killed this person and then brought him back to life, أَتَشُكُّونَ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Would you doubt in the matter? فَيَقُولُونَ لَا. And they will say no. فَيَقْتُلُهُ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيهِ. And he will kill this individual. Between his head and his legs, he will cut this person in two. Then he will walk between him. And then he will bring this man back together again. And this man will raise up alive. And the man will say, وَاللَّهِ مَا كُنْتُ أَشَكَّ قَطَّ بَصِيرَةً مِنِّي الْآنِ. By Allah, I've never had more conviction that you are the Dajjal than I have right now. And it says that the Dajjal will throw him. And it will appear to the people of the Dajjal that he has been thrown in the fire, but he's been thrown in paradise. And it was the opinion of some ulama that this person is Khidr alayhi salam. But Sahaba, they thought that we did not think that anyone could be that person except Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And it says he is the best of martyrs in that time. But the thing is, the Muslims have to avoid him. The way that you avoid the fitna today, isn't it? You avoid the harm. You avoid the temptation. Ibn al-Qayyim gives an example of two people, two servants of a king. And the king entrusts those two people, those two servants, with some mal, with some money, as an amana. And they go to the marketplace. And they're supposed to buy something for the king that they know that the king likes, and is befitting the king's majesty and honor. And they go on their way, and the first person, he clutches onto his money. He knows he has an objective, he has a mission. He needs to buy for the king something the king likes. But on the way there, he sees the neon lights, you see. And he hears the music. And he sees the people enjoying themselves and spending the money on themselves. And he says, well, if they're doing the same, then I should do that. If they're doing that, then I should do that. And he uses this amana, this trust from his king, upon himself, for his own liking. And the second one, he clutches the money, and he sees the same neon lights, and he hears the same music. But he realizes there is an objective, there is a mission, an aim that I have. And that is to buy something for the king that I know that the king likes. And he realizes that, and he does that. And he comes back, and the king is only happy with one, because one realized his purpose, one realized his objective. He distanced himself from the fitna, from the trial, from the hardship, from the thing that was alluring, that was tempting. Man sami'a bid-dajjal falyan'a anhu. Whoever hears of the dajjal should distance himself from him. For wallahi inna rajul, because a man will come to him. وَهُوَ يَحْسَبْ أَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ. And he will think himself to be a mu'min. He will think him to be a mu'min. But he will become his follower because of the shubuhat, because of the doubts. Right? Because of the doubts. وَأَخْرَجْ مَنْ يَخْرُجْ إِلَيْهِ النِّسَاءِ. And the majority of those who go out to him will be the women. حَتَّى إِنَّ الرَّجُلُ. Until a man يَرْجِعُ إِلَى حَمِيمِهِ وَبْنَتِهِ وَأُخْتِهِ وَعَمَّتِهِ. Until a man goes home to his wife and his mother and his sister and his aunt, فَيُوثِقُهَا رِبَاطًا مَخَافًا تَخْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ. And he literally imprisons them in their home. Literally ties them up. Makes the house a fortress because of his fear that these women would go out to him. What a fear, what a danger. إِذَا تَشَهَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعًا. When any of you are in your tashahud, in your prayer, then seek refuge with Allah from four. يَقُولُ. And say, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ أَذَابِ جَهَنَّمُ وَمِنْ أَذَابِ الْقَبَرُ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَى وَالْمَمَاتُ وَمِنْ شَرِّ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحَ الدَّجَّالِ. Seek refuge with Allah from the Dajjal. كان Imam Tawus, who was one of the Tabi'in, يَأْمُرْ إِبْنُهُ بِإِعَادَةِ الصَّلَاةِ إِذَا لَمْ يَقْرَأْ هَذَا الدُّعَى فِي صَلَاتِهِ. He would order his son to repeat his salah if he did not recite this in his salah. مَنْ حَفَظَ عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ مِنْ أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ الْكَهْفِ عُصِمَ مِنْ دَجَّالِ. Whoever recites, memorizes the first 10, is there something that could approach us in our lifetime? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives delivery and deliverance after hardship, isn't it? Allah gives ease after hardship. He said, أَنَا أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I am the closest person to Jesus, the son of Mary, in the dunya and the akhirah. وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِخْوَةٌ لِعَلَّاتْ أُمَّهَاتُمْ شَتَّى وَدِينُهُمْ وَاحِدٌ. And prophets are like brothers unto one another. Their religion, their mothers are different, but their religion is the same. And عيسى عليه السلام فَيَنْزِلْ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ فَيَكْسِرَ الصَّلِيبَ. And he will break the cross. وَيَقْتُلَ الْخِنْزِيدَ. And he will kill the swine. وَيَضَعُ الْحَرْبَ. And he will abolish war. وَيُفِيدُ الْمَالِ حَتَّى لَقْبَلُهُ أَحَدًا. And he will distribute wealth until no one accepts it. What a hikmah Allah has, that Allah will send down Isa alayhi salam as a proof against the Jews that they did not kill him. And as a proof against the Christian world, that the one that they claim to be Allah, the son of Allah, ends up being Muslim. And praying the way that Muslims pray. And the only one who was sent to kill the Dajjal. And it says that he will see him and he will melt as if salt melts in water. فَيَكْسِرَ الصَّلِيبَ. And he will break the cross. abolishment of Christianity. What is the call? The abandoned call. It's like, I think George Bernard Shaw says, when the truth is spoken in a time of universal deceit, it's a revolutionary act. Right? That they will collectively witness the most revolutionary act they've ever witnessed before. Because it's truth, because it's haq. Right? Because it's haq. What he came with was La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah salam, in his time. He will affirm the truth of Allah, the truth of Islam, and deny and denounce the falsehood attributed to him, that he is somehow the son of Allah or Allah. Even in their own books, when he's asked what is the greatest commandment, the first commandment, Shema Israel, Adonai Eleheinu, Adonai Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We say, Kul huwa Allahu Ahad, say he is Allah the One. And that's the truth that he will bring towards the end of time. And he will live on this earth for a period of 7 years, and he will kill the Dajjal. And the Muslims will have honor underneath him. And it says that everything that has poison will be taken out. And it says that, you know, the blessings will come from the sky and the provision will come from the earth. And it says that he recognize him, he will descend, so recognize him. And he will descend on the wings of two angels wearing two yellowish garments. He is of a whitish, reddish complexion. And it will seem as if water is coming from his head, but there is no water that has befallen him. And it says he will descend, so recognize him. It says in his time a child will play with a snake, but the snake will not harm the child. A wolf will graze with a sheep, but the former will not harm the latter. A lion will graze with the ox, with the cow, but the former will not harm the latter. And Allah will take this animosity, poison, venom out of everything, peace. And then Yajuj and Majuj will come, but I'll say something. Brothers, remember that the time that we're living in, the things that are approaching us, are afflicting us, even in this time. And some people are renouncing their religion, and some people are succumbing. But remember, brothers, that there will come a time. الصابر فيهم على دينك القابض على الجمر. When the one who is patient in his religion, ask yourself, am I that person who is patient in my religion? Is like the one who is holding on to hot coal. Right? It will burn your hand. It will burn your hand. It will burn you. It will be hard for you. But that person will have the reward of 50. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean 50? You mean 50 of their people, like one good man in that time, will have the reward of 50 others. He said, no, not 50 of their people, 50 of you. 50 of you. One upright man of istiqamah. Be firm, brothers, in this time. Wallahi, never renounce your religion. Never succumb to those new callers who will call you with other than the haq, other than the truth. But it seems easy, doesn't it? But what will the Dajjal bring except ease to the people? Except comfort? Except fame? Except enjoyment? But struggle, have the difficult road. Persevere on the difficult path. When they came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, why on earth are you not making dua for us? When we are starving to death and we have stones around our stomachs, and you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, need to be making dua for us. And he said, Wallahi, before you a man would be brought and sawn in two pieces. An iron comb would be brought and separate his skin from his flesh. But none of that would make him waver in his religion. Would make him waver in his religion. Wallahi, this affair, Islam, will come to completion until a rider travels min Sana'a ila Hadramaut, from Sana'a to Hadramaut, la yakafu illallah, wa dhi'ab ala ghanamihi, not fearing anyone except Allah, and the wolf upon his sheep, walakinnakum tasta'jiloon, but you people are hasty. You haven't bled for Islam. You haven't been bruised for Islam. You haven't sweated for Islam. People run a marathon. People sail around the world on a ship. But they do that for the dunya. But we as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to set the mark, set the standard, especially in this time. Be an ummah of wala and bara, be an ummah of la ilaha illallah, of tawheed, and never compromise in this call. Whoever comes, and there will be many others who will come, and they will come from the government, and they will come from other angles, and they will present to you a new version of Islam, a redefined Islam, a repackaged Islam. But realize the time that you're living in, and realize the one who is about to emerge upon us, who will come and travel to every land, and people will obey him and follow him, and people who will think themselves so pious will be of him. Remember the time that you're living in, when a man who will wake up as a believer will sleep as a disbeliever, and one who will sleep as a believer will wake up as a disbeliever. Don't be of that person. Brothers, Allah gave us an example in the Quran of the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Right? وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَى قَلْبِ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What a lesson for us in the miracle, in the struggle of a woman, of the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Allah says that her heart became despondent. Right? We see so much massacre, so much killing, so much imprisonment of our ulama around the world, in the dungeons of this earth, in Guantanamo Bay, in Belmarsh, in Bagram, wherever they are in prison. Our sisters, our children who are orphans, our sisters who are widows, by day and by night, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا, and her heart became despondent. In كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ, she was about to disclose her affair. She was about to run to the house of Pharaoh and say, this is my son, and I want him back. لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَى قَلْبِهَا. But had we not strengthened her heart, had we not strengthened her heart, so that she is one of the mu'mineen. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَا وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. But then we gave Musa alayhi salam back to his mother, so that her heart, her eyes find delight, and that she doesn't grieve, and so that she knows that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Brothers, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. It's haq. Allah says in the Quran, أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوهُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ. Do they desire a plan? A plan against Allah, a plan against the Muslims. Allah says those who disbelieve are themselves already inside of a plan, are already inside of a plan, and that is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make we not be of those who compromise, who give in this testing and difficult time, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us and preserve the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah help those who are struggling in Allah's cause wherever they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give patience to those who are imprisoned. Make it a good khalwa for them, like Ibn Taymiyyah says, مَا يَصْنَوْ أَعْدَائِ بِي. Right? Like, what can my enemies do with me? أَنَا جَنَّتِ وَبُسْتَانِ فِي صَدْرِي. My paradise and my garden are in my heart. إِنْ رُحْتُ فَهِيَ مَعِي لَا تُفَارِقُنِي. Wherever I go, these two things always follow me and they never leave me. إِنْ حَبْسِي خَلْوَ وَقَتْلِي شَهَادَةً وَإِخْرَاجِ مِنْ بَلَدِي السِّيَاحَةً. My imprisonment is a seclusion for me, a time for me to be alone with Allah. And if they kill me, then I'm a martyr. And if they exile me, then it's a tourism for me. May Allah give strength to those who are in prison. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the jannah of the dunya and the jannah of the akhirah. And the jannah of the dunya is muhabbatullahi ta'ala, ومعرفته ودوام ذكره والسكون إليه والطمأنينة إليه وإفراد بالحب والرجاء والخوف والتوكل. Ibn Qayyim says that's the Jannah that Ibn Taymiyyah was speaking of, the one that's in his heart, the love of Allah, awareness of Allah, singling Allah out for fear, for hope, for trust, Remember, brothers, the people who made struggle and sacrifice before you, and the difficulties that they were in, but they stood for the truth. Think about the struggle of Imam Ahmad, rahimullah, who stood alone, proclaiming the haq, the truth, and he's the Imam of Ahl Sunnah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those great people. You know, may Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on us and have mercy on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair.